Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Productivity Talk Radio. Here is your host, Carol Dixon Carr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Productivity Talk, where I interview experts about their perspectives on productivity, business communication, and process improvements so your business can increase your bottom line profits. Today, the subject is leveraging social media in business with an emphasis on using Facebook and perhaps Twitter to grow your business and your team, your virtual team. I am having some technical difficulties with the switchboard, and so I'm not able to unmute Mari, and I'm hoping that my screen will clear up soon because it won't be the same without her. But I'm delighted to have her with me. I'm certain she's there because I just got off the phone with her live. And I don't think she needs an introduction, but I would like to gush about her a little bit. Fast Company magazine dubbed her a relationship marketing whiz and the Pied Piper of Facebook. Mari is a social media business coach specializing in relationships. Through her consulting and training business, Mari helps independent professionals, entrepreneurs, and business owners to accelerate their business profits using an integrated social marketing strategy. Now, there's a particular focus on Facebook, obviously. Mari's motto is relationships first, business second, and I second that emotion. Social media is her ideal playground as she's able to merge her two skills and passions, relationships and the Internet. After applying Mari's proven social marketing method, her clients typically experience a significant increase in traffic, subscribers, clients, affiliates, lucrative strategic alliances, and targeted media attention. Her clients have been known to earn as much as $40,000 in 1 week, even $16,000 in 1 hour, directly from Facebook. So I'd like to welcome her, but the problem is this switchboard is stuck. So she's probably saying, Carol, where are you? And I'm here. So technology is great when it works, but for some reason we are having some challenges with the login. And so in the meantime, let's see if we can get the chat room, see if everything's blocked. I might have to dial back in and on a different computer. So I apologize for that. I've never had the technical difficulties before to this extent on my computer ever, and I don't know what's going on, and I apologize. So what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to have to hop to a different computer. Let's see. Oh, and there's Mari. Yay! Okay, yippee! I'm sure she was probably there all along with my screen.
Can you hear me?
So, Mari, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. Can you hear me?
Praise the Lord. I couldn't hear you because I couldn't get to the switchboard. It gave me the white screen of death.
Yeah, no, I've been here all the whole time, and I was able to hear you. That is wild. Well, like you say, technology, it's funny, we're talking all about productivity today, so.
Isn't that the most ironic thing in the whole wide world?
Yeah.
Well, welcome. I'm so happy to hear your voice, because I knew you had to be there. It's just I got the white screen of death, and there was nothing I could do about it. It's like, oh, help us. So help us, but here we are. So welcome, Mari.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Well, you know, and it's so funny. I was just thinking about the resistance that I get from clients locally and about, oh, gosh, you know, social networks. Why should I even bother with that stuff? You know, it's just a waste of time. Why do you think? I should just probably start off and ask you, why do you think it's important for businesses to even participate in social networks before we get into how the virtual team got assembled when your business started even bursting more so at the seams than it already had been, which I'm really excited about.
Well, thank you. Yeah. It's absolutely critical for businesses to participate in social media, especially now. It's interesting that I see and I hear people talking about the recession and the down economy and struggling to get business and in fact, even laying off, I was just thinking about an article I was reading recently by Shell Israel, the author, and he's a new media expert, and talking about, you know, the last people you want to lay off, or if you're going to be laying off, is social media. Anybody who's in any way involved or could be involved or could be trained to be involved in social media, because it's the one area where there's so much energy, so much activity, so much excitement, engagement, involvement. And that's why right now businesses who are not participating actively in social media are really missing out, because there's just this, there's a new excitement in the air, if you will. And we've moved away from like the age of information, which is all about if you just flood people with information, they'll be happy. We're now in this new reputation age, recommendation age, and how you build on the recommendation and reputation is by being visible, by being transparent, being authentic, being congruent and consistent with your presence. And yes, that can take time. And one of the things you and I are going to be talking about today, Carol, is some ways to manage that time consumption and to leverage and automate and delegate. Because for busy business owners, you know, if you can speak in front of an audience, whether by phone or webinar or a live in-person audience, and generate thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, your time is not the best time. You're not the best person to be in front of your computer and engaging in all of the social media all of the time. And I do see quite a bit of that. We might get to touch on that today, where a lot of the business owners are the actual ones spending an inordinate amount of time doing the networking and like kind of chit-chatting around the cooler, if you will, right? The water cooler in the office, and which is fine. That's important, but not, you know, all day, every day. You won't get anything done.
Exactly.
So, let's talk about some strategies today about how to really leverage that, how to get the most out of social media for your business without you being the one investing, you know, 10 hours a day.
Not that
it takes that, but yeah. So, but yeah, now we've got Web 2.0, you know, it's all about conversation, engagement, involvement. What's really cool here, see, I'm a big proponent. You and I both, Carol, I know that you're a master with the Myers-Briggs, and we've had wonderful conversations about assessments, and I just love to really, I'm a fan of Myers-Briggs as well as many others, DISC and Reese, and to be able to understand the human motivation, the human psyche, and why we do the things that we do. And what social media allows us to do as a nation, as a global community, is to be a leader, to support people, to belong, and to be validated and acknowledged, to be recognized. These are all like intrinsic human motivations.
Mm-hmm.
That now, more than ever, we have the opportunity to tap into and have those motivation satisfied. So it's very exciting.
I agree, and it's cool that you brought up the behavioral, the motivation, all those wonderful things. Because I would say I was a closet assessment file, but that wouldn't be, true. I'm out of the closet. Truly.
You're not in the closet, right.
Yeah, well, we could probably circle back around that when we talk about that, the team building and, you know, getting the people who mesh with your way of working. But what I wanted to do is first, because even though in the chat room now that I see a lot of familiar faces, and they kind of get the intuitive way of being as a business, and you know that there is a right way and a wrong way to use these sites. And even though the folks in the chat room, I think for the most part, get it, there are going to be people who are downloading the archive that I marketed to who don't even use Facebook or Twitter, any of those things. So if you could touch on, you know, what they should and should not be doing if they're their business on the social networks, that would be great.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I like to say right up front, you know, these are Mari's opinions, if you will. They're more than opinions, though. They're really tried and tested methodologies and approaches to social networking. Other people have different approaches, and that's okay. I'm not here to say my way is the only way. I just like to say that. But I do encourage everybody to do their due diligence, in other words. So, for example, some of the wrong ways, if you will, or the most ineffective ways to use social media is thinking that it's all about the numbers and that you have to go out there and amass the most amount of friends possible and you know, accumulate all these friends and followers, and it's like this contest to see who can be the most popular. And it really is not the right approach. In fact, I just was recently watching a little video clip with Seth Godin, the phenomenal marketer. I just love his style and his new book, Tribes. And he's talking about this very thing, this very aspect of social media where you'll see that people think that it really is all about the numbers and it's a contest and see who can be the top of the leaderboard. And it's about the relationships. This is, as you know, that's something very close to my heart, is this really building, developing powerful relationships with people. So some of the right ways, let me just finish off on the wrong way. So adding, if you were to add too many friends at once over on Facebook, and we don't actually know what too many is, there are limitations, and they're not necessarily, you can't drill down into the FAQ, the questions or help and find out, okay, oh yeah, so as long as I don't add more than 25 a day, but actually I think it is around there. Of adding new friends on Facebook somewhere around 20, 25 a day, and making sure you mix up the personal message. Don't just be cutting and pasting, and especially if you're hiring and you're actually delegating, a lot of very busy professionals are hiring assistants to build out their network and manage their online presence. You just have to be aware that Facebook in particular, of all the different sites out there, Facebook are relentless about their restrictions and limitations, and they have their little bots that will come along and flag your account if you look like you're doing anything suspicious. And I've had so many people write to me, and I just really, my heart goes out to them, because they're like, oh my gosh, all I did was send this many messages and my account's been deactivated, or I got the spam warning, or I can't post any more messages. And so just proceed with caution, just, you know, mix up your messages, just grow your network deliberately, and remember that there's more than Facebook. You have to be expanding your presence on other sites.
Mm-hmm.
And really handpicking, deliberately handpicking who you're friending. Ideally, the high-level influencers in your industry, potentially also potential clients. There's ways you can do advanced keyword searches, and you can also buy social ads, which are like Google AdWords for Facebook, and attract into your network of friends, Facebook friends, specific individuals who would be a good fit for your products and services, and or would be a raving fan that would go out and tell all their people about you.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that on Twitter, it seems like in a lot of ways Facebook on steroids in terms of real-time communication and getting to know people, right? I mean, if you know, with our just-in-time marketing almost, it almost seems like.
Well, it does. You're right. See, because with Facebook, that you can find people whom you may never have been able to reach any other way, and so long as they accept you as a friend, then you have the ability to write on their wall. You can email them. In fact, you can even email in Facebook. You can email people without them being your friend. And so you might start up a dialogue with someone, and then with using Twitter in conjunction with Facebook, it does allow you to deepen that connection. Twitter has its own culture. It's a little more informal, a little more casual, like these little nuggets of conversations. And then when you've got a rapport going with certain individuals that you want to grow that relationship, you can then take it offline and you start to direct message in private, and you move to Skype or set up a phone conversation, things like that. So just making sure that you're evolving your relationships to the level that you want. And I know I have over 6,000 followers on Twitter now, and I'm at the 5,000 friend limit on Facebook. Well, it's taken me 18 months to get to this point. And when I talk about that, about nurturing these relationships, the 80-20 rule always applies. I mean, it really does. And so when you think, you take 20% of all your different contacts, and even I know Alex Mendozian likes to talk about the Pareto 4, which is the 20% of the 20%. So you end up with an even smaller, very laser-focused, targeted group of individuals that you want to be consistently nurturing your relationship with them. And they can turn out to be, you know, a major client, a major joint venture partner, a big contact who gets you media attention, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. So, and I found out about you this summer. It might have been maybe the spring, and it was interesting. And I found out about you through the social networks. one of my closest colleagues, Bea Fields, turned me on to social networking, and she got the ball rolling. And then somewhere, it might have been a client of ours who told us about you, and I found out about you, and then I have made so many different contacts just because I knew you and just you guests on the show, and I've actually become pretty close with a lot of folks and have had some really good strategic alliances as a result. So it's like a they tell two friends and so on and so on and so on, if you remember that commercial. So what I thought I would do is ask you, what was the catalyst of knowing that you needed to grow your team? Because I know that you had a team going, but I knew that it was your business is really taking off. I know you were already successful, but now you've taken it to another level. I was talking with your VA. It's like it's been a really great month. And so you've got probably a new VA, probably a new project manager, and a number of folks. How did you come by getting these people on your team? And did you find them using the social media mechanisms?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. So first of all, where I knew that I needed help was when I was unable. In fact, I'm still in transition and setting up systems and perfecting those systems, tweaking them, because there's not necessarily one size fits all. It's really important to set up systems that serve you and your style and your business and the results that you want to create. And so I saw that the more visibility and growth that I was able to achieve on Facebook, the more email I got. And because, like I just mentioned earlier, how you can email someone inside of Facebook, whether they're your friend or not. So what I found is that the volume of email just kept increasing commensurate with the increase of my visibility. And my challenge is that it's a challenge in one way, but it's not in another way, because it really does help to emphasize my focus on relationships. That I really want to answer. I want to answer all my email, and so it just got to the point where I was just physically unable to keep on top of every single email coming in. Not every single, obviously, the genuine ones are asking me questions or just needed some support in some way. And so I saw that that was the first area that I had one of my assistants took over for me, is to manage my Facebook email. And I did find her through a contact of mine. The exact steps that led me. Yep, and she was already on Facebook and she was on Twitter, and it was a friend of mine that was raving about this girl that she was using, and so I decided to just contact her directly. And then I've had other support providers along the way, and then recently really found, actually it was a colleague of mine, another friend of mine that I know through Facebook and Twitter. He said to me, you know, Mari, that I just kept hiring VAs and hiring VAs and hiring VAs. My business was building and expanding, and I still was frantic and crazy. And he told me that the thing that made the biggest difference was hiring a project manager. Because then he says, you know, every Monday morning I just meet up with my project manager. She's all beautifully systematized and prioritized. She just tells me what I'm supposed to focus on. And I was like,
very
oh,
nice.
My gosh, music to my ears. I need a project manager. So I actually have two project managers that I'm working with right now that have been very, very supportive in just taking over one or more projects and just really breaking it down, making sure that I don't miss any components. And so, absolutely, I found those. I found all of my team members, in fact, all the different people that I use. In fact, even a fitness. I just hired a fitness trainer and found her a local gal in San Diego and came to me through Twitter, which is just awesome. But I wanted to share specifically, if I may, Carol, the process I used for hiring a project manager, because I think your listeners would really benefit from that. Would that be okay?
Oh, my gosh, you just read my mind. Please do.
It was kind of in your past question, your last question. I just wanted to make sure to hog all the airspace here. But
no, please do. We want you. We like that. Do it, girl.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I have this concept that you got your personal life and your professional life, and being a business owner, so many of us, the line is very blurry, kind of who we are is our business is who we are, and so we kind of like, we don't have to live in a glass house, or we don't have to reveal absolutely everything about what's going on in our lives. And so I have this third category that I call private, and it's really important to keep that. You get to say what you reveal publicly or not, and always bearing in mind that anything that goes up online is pretty much there forever. Even if you try to take it down and delete it, someone else might have saved it somewhere. So anything that goes in print is, well, internet print, computer print. So what I did is I decided that I wrote up a blog post that just gives very, very simple about three different things that I was looking for in a project manager, and essentially, and then I put in my Facebook status update, and I put out one tweet, and I said, you know, Mari's hiring an awesome project manager, and if you or someone you know is interested, you know, here's where to go, and I click, and then they go through to this blog post. They read the absolute basics, absolute basics. I wasn't willing to reveal, like, everything about my business and everything I'm looking for, which you tend to have to do, like, maybe on Elance or some of these other sites, put up a full job description, and that's okay, but sometimes people put it up anonymously, and that's okay, too. But what I did is I said, if this feels like a fit for you, you want to find out more information, you're interested to put your name on the list, then send me a blank email, and I set up an autoresponder where it had the full description and more of what would be involved, and then if they felt they were a good fit after reading that, then they had to email me their resume and let me know what their Twitter ID was. And so I had some really specific instructions, and I'm like, okay, if someone can follow all these instructions and get to my inbox with exactly what I've asked for, most likely they're going to be a good fit. And so then I end up having about 20 responses, and that part was a little challenging, to be perfectly frank, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm scarcely have enough time to manage the projects that I have on my plate, and now I have another project to manage, the project of managing, getting a project manager.
Right.
Created myself another problem. But seriously, what I end up doing is pretty much all the 20 applicants, I looked at their Facebook profiles, I looked at their Twitter stream, and this is the beautiful thing with one of the many things, and social media now is being used more and more and more as a mainstream source of hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Hiring and firing, unfortunately for some people, unfortunately for firing too, because if you put up some, you know, usually this is in younger people, I've seen this in their 20s or something, that they have compromising information on the internet, and then their boss finds it, or, you know, prospective employer finds it, and it does pre-qualify them or pre-unqualify them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I was able to use the fly on the wall approach, if you will, to go in and find out a lot of information about these applicants and make my decision from there. And I talked to a few of them, and then found one girl that was really a very good fit.
Very nice. That is cool that you had a way of pre-screening them without them even really knowing that they were being screened to begin with, it almost sounds like.
Right, exactly, because that's exactly what I was doing, because I saw, and I will give credit to my dear friend, Melanie Benson-Strick.
She's awesome. I love Melanie.
She's amazing, yeah.
She's
awesome.
A
virtual team building expert, and I had seen her do this approach before of having people send an autoresponder for more information. And if you look, there were several hoops that you had to jump through. It makes it automated. It's totally automated. So you're not just going to be overwhelmed. Like, I've used Elance before, and I quite like Elance. My only challenge is even when I put, you know, only people in this country, only people in the U.S., and I end up getting, you know, just big avalanche of foreigners, and not having anything against foreigners, but there's certain things about if I want to work with somebody in my time zone, then I only want people in my time zone applying, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Perfect sense. And since we're kind of on the time-consuming sifting through, I'm going to circle back to this, the project manager and the team aspect. But
sure,
I saw something in the chat, and I think it scrolled on past me, but somebody mentioned it being a time suck. And so, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I know it can be time-consuming, and so can Twitter, and it can become addictive. So what is your strategy? I have some strategies, but I know, and I learned a lot from you, too. So, I mean, so everything's getting kind of blurred, but it's worth it to invest the time, wouldn't you agree?
I really do agree. And I think initially for all of your listeners who are maybe quite new to social media and they got an account on Facebook and maybe they have some teenage children and they're watching these teenage kids spend an inordinate amount of time and play games and stuff like that. And I think what happens is when I share with people that business people, Here's the implications of you being involved versus not being involved in social networking, especially my two sites of choice are Facebook and Twitter, and that's what I recommend as part of my strategy and time management strategy. You're going to get inundated with invites all day, every day to join everybody and their dog's network, and that's fine. that's partly what you can delegate, is you can actually have a VA set up profiles on, you know, 30, 40 different platforms. But that's it. That's the extent of it. You're going to automate anything that sometimes a lot of these sites will allow you to pull in feeds. So if you're on Twitter, it has a feed. You can pull in your tweets, as they're called, into Facebook or into Friend Feed or, you know, different sites that you might, any social network or platform that allows you to pull in feeds, including your blog posts. And so you write one blog post, it goes out to Twitter, goes out to Facebook, goes out to Friend Feed, and so you're getting leverage all over the place. And so that's one approach right there, is just looking to see where you can leverage, also having an assistant to set up these profiles for you, and then choosing your top, it might only be one, but I recommend two, maybe even three, two to three platforms. And like I say, Facebook and Twitter in combination with each other have found very, very effective, I mean extremely effective. And I know many, many people have the exact same approach. So the thing is to not engage in a lot of frivolity. For example, people who are new to Twitter. Twitter can, even though it's simple, and interestingly enough, even in its simplicity, it can be more complex to understand than likes of Facebook. People come to Facebook, say, okay, yeah, I add friends. Okay, I can write on walls. What are these applications? Oh, yeah, ignore all. By the way, sidebar here, ignore all applications. Check out, you know, 2% of them or something of any great, you know, use for business purposes. But the vast majority is just going to be a lot of frivolity, and just keep a check on that. That helps for sure. But Twitter, people go and they look and they say, what's this? What are you doing? I mean, who would care that I'm walking my dog or I'm taking out the trash right now?
Right.
And you see a lot of these inane tweets go by, but it's so powerful, because every single tweet is a web page of its own little, has its own unique URL. It gets indexed, goes out to Google. If you start tweeting with your keywords, if you start tweeting value, tips, you follow powerful people, influencers, you make friends with them, you respond to your at replies, you respond to your direct messages. My personal preference is always to follow people back who follow me, because then it allows for private conversations. Definitely on the Twitter subject, check out my dear friend Coach Deb. She's at Coach Deb, and authored the book, The Twitter Handbook, with at Warren Whitlock. A fabulous book that it would be really great for people to get their hands on, or, you know, getting started on Twitter and thinking, what is this thing and how do I use it? Because I think I see a lot more people misusing Twitter than Facebook, or maybe just because I've built my network so deliberately on Facebook, I don't really have anybody inappropriate. Like, I don't poke. There's this one piece in Facebook with the poke thing, and I just have this thing. It's called a zero poke policy. I don't poke people, and I don't like people to poke me. So
I think
all the time, and all the time I've been on Facebook, I've had like three pokes. So I'm like, oh, good.
Very cool. You've set out that energetically, and it worked. You know, I think my students, because, you know, I teach at SMU, too, so have Facebook friends there, too. They got it pretty quickly. No, that's not what I'm there for. So,
right. Yeah.
It's very funny. We have some questions in the chat room. Words for a Living had asked, how would you compare that with LinkedIn? She had a few questions, or I'm hoping Words for a Living is female. If I'm wrong, I apologize out loud. But what are your thoughts on Facebook versus LinkedIn? And I'll throw in MySpace and some of the other ones, too, while we're at it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that came up. We didn't mention LinkedIn, but LinkedIn is an extremely powerful network that has a much more professional, work-oriented focus. So I highly, highly recommend. I mean, anybody who's in business, whether you work for a company, you have your own company, you absolutely must have a LinkedIn profile. And it's totally free, and you can add contacts, and there's some great features in there where you can endorse people. People can endorse you. You can get recommended to other people. Ask to be introduced. There's another good feature where you can ask questions and hold surveys and polls. And the energy of LinkedIn, the collective essence of it, if you will, collective energy, is just really more professional. You're going to have a lot of white-collar workers. You're not going to find a lot of junk users and spam. I mean, if they are there, I'm not aware of them. Now, as far as where to invest your time, I will go into LinkedIn maybe once a week, whereas with Facebook and Twitter, I'm on every day. Not necessarily, you know, all day, every day, but certainly several times a day. And then I have systems set up that certainly gives the appearance that I'm online a lot more than I am. and like pre-scheduling tweets, and there's one called Tweet Later. I like Tweet Later. They're a great company. I really like the guy that started it. My only challenge is I don't like it to show in my tweet stream that I've tweeted from Tweet Later, because basically I'm saying to everybody I pre-scheduled this tweet. But I use Easy Tweets. I like Easy Tweets, and that's actually one of my students that created that app.
That's Corey, right?
Corey, yeah. Actually, he was on the team. He did the design of it, and a buddy of mine did the actual programming. So I just love that app. It's a really great one for pre-scheduling, because it's just, again, it's a time management technique that you can. I just don't do mornings too well, so I'll pre-schedule a lot of my morning tweets, and I don't necessarily want the whole world to know that, but it's just me and you on this call, right, Carol?
Right, and 100,000 of my best friends. No, no, I'm kidding. No, that's extrovert comment to make, right?
Right.
Oh, goodness.
But anyway, so, yeah, to finish it up, Words for Living, LinkedIn, most definitely get yourself a profile in there, import your address book, reach out to build up your network, and if you're, like, in growth phase, if anybody right now, like, you're in major growth phase, you're, like, really, remember it takes, like, a rocket ship, like, you know, 90% of their energy to just get up and get going and get off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may want to dedicate quite a bit more time to your business. If you can invest 1 hour a day, it might be, like, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 in the afternoon, 20 in the evening, and specifically and deliberately be looking for targeted individuals to follow on Twitter, to add as contacts on LinkedIn, to add as friends on Facebook, that kind of thing. And then you can actually connect with some of these people will be the same people. There's going to be some overlap, and that's great, in fact, because you want to be able to have this consistent visibility where people are seeing you in many different places. This is what I call radical strategic visibility, in fact. Radical strategic visibility. And just basically, the radical part is like you're seen everywhere, and that's why you've got to be in all these different social networks as a profile, not necessarily active all day, every day, but at least at minimum a presence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the strategic is that you want to be seen in the right places. Here's even just a little small yet powerful tip, is go to Gravatar, G-R-A-V-A, excuse me, it's avatar with a G-R in front, G-R-A-V-A-T-A-R, yeah, gravatar.com. And it's free, and you upload a picture, just a profile picture. That's it. You're done. Set and forget. Now, every time you go to post a comment on a blog, usually all WordPress blogs, not all, but it depends how people have it configured, a lot of WordPress blogs use Gravatar to pull in a little headshot, a little your avatar, your photo, with your comment. And
oh,
that means when and I see so many people don't know that because they just don't know. There's not a big sign saying, hey, if you want your picture here, sign up on Gravatar. And so that's part of that strategic visibility. When you're making your comments, leaving your little footprints around the internet, you can you have that just that extra visibility.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I see that you're – are you on the chat? Are you looking at some of the questions that are coming down the pike by chance?
I can see a few. So you're talking about Twello. What about LinkedIn? How do I find my key people to begin with on Twitter? And then Kim had said Twello. Yep, that's a good one. I recommend Twello because it's basically yellow pages for Twitter. And the good thing about Twello is that you can search bios at the bios, whereas with the regular search, like search.twitter.com, you're going to be searching the tweet streams itself, which is great. I'm going to use tweet stream. I use the tweet search every day. Another tip for you is, I'm just type this into the chat, is tweetbeep.com. I know Kim Beasley, she's on my team, that she uses that one. Many, many people use Tweetbeep.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, I'm saying many, but a lot, you know, I think less people on Twitter know about it than do. I mean, whatever I'm trying to say. There's not so many people know about Tweetbeep, so it's a great site that's like Google Alerts for Twitter. And
exactly.
If you
I love
there,
it.
Fact,
yeah,
one,
I have a little filter.
Yeah.
That goes straight to all the, you know, that folder gets filled up pretty quickly, that label in my Gmail account. But it's oh, good, a lot of good data in there, that you can
find.
Well,
one thing,
and
too, is not just to put your keywords, but even to put some problems, put some keywords related to the challenges or problems that your marketplace might be having, and you can just jump in and offer a quick solution, and that's it.
Exactly.
You can't push your products and services and your link and come and read my blog and Amy, whatever it is, but to just step in and help someone, and it's so powerful. They will remember you forever.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. So, I'm going to circle back before
getting back to some of the logistics, I wanted to, because not everybody, especially the new entrepreneurs coming on the scene, now we briefly talked about what a project manager is, but let's pretend like this is a, you know, somebody who's just like straddling from employee to a new business, and they might not even know exactly what a project manager does. And what was, so I want to see what your catalyst was, and then what were the ideal characteristics for you? I know because your personality type and your behavior style and all those things are going to be different, and one size does not fit all. But for the Mari Smith model, what does that look like for a project manager?
Well, we're in transition right now. I'm actually working with Kim Beasley is in the chat room right now. She's handling some of my projects for me. And then I have the other gal that I hired through Twitter, Kelly Williams, and she's right here in San Diego County. She's in Oceanside, which is wonderful. I was just hanging out with her yesterday. She helped me, for example, with I was just speaking for Alexandria Brown and speaking in front of 500 people and selling product from the stage, and it was just a massive project to manage, and that's part of where I was reaching out for help. I had about, you know, 2 weeks to go, and I still had a lot of variables to be handled. And so what Kelly did for me is create a whole project management system where we knew that all of the I's were dotted and T's were crossed, and everything from the fulfillment house, the product creation, and the components I was going to be taking and delivering hands-on at the actual event, and what's going to be shipped afterwards, and just a lot. I mean, and there's still fine-tunements going on even now, and part of what Kim's helping me with as well is my membership site, my blog, and my main VA, Christina. She filters my Facebook email, and now my main email, which I had such a hard time letting go with, and I'm such an Outlook diehard. But they're moving me over to Gmail. And
yes! Yay! Yay!
Oh, yes. Working with Brad Stamp, who's a systems expert, and he's at CashMap on Twitter, and he's actually going to be in a mastermind that I just joined with Carrie Wilkerson, who's in, she's Barefoot_exec on Twitter.
Yeah, she's cool.
Very lively and bubbly. And so Brad is just, he's an amazing systems expert and is helping me to implement. I'm so excited for this piece to be in place. I'm just right in the midst of it right now, that I can literally manage my email in about 15 minutes a day.
Nice.
Email is one of the biggest time sinks of our business world today, and it's just that so many people sometimes get to the point of having to declare email bankruptcy, and it's like 800, 1,000, 8,000 emails in my inbox. Oh, my gosh, and you just can't ever humanly possibly get to them.
Nice.
But having said all this, you know, I'm just such a huge fan of Gary Vaynerchuk. He's at Gary V, V-E-E on Twitter. And his approach is to be relentless and vigilant about responding to as much email. He did every single email, but, you know, every email possible, and tweet, and, you know, on Twitter and Facebook, and just being as available as you can. So you may, if you are able to justify and get the measurable results from 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, in front of your computer, answering emails, responding to, you know, customer inquiries, and just being there for your people, being there for your tribe, then
mm-hmm.
that will make all the difference in the world. As Gary calls it, you know, crush it. You kill it. You get out there and you just crush it.
Oh, that's so funny. Gary V, is that what you said?
Yeah, V-E-E, because
okay.
Yeah, you guys know it. He's actually at Gary V. I just typed it in there when he's
Gary, there you go.
Vaynerchuk.com.
Yeah, now
yeah.
I understand why. Yeah, now I understand why he's just merely Gary V. So the person,
yeah.
So you get somebody to look at your emails and kind of sift them to the ones that Mari needs to look at specifically. And
exactly. Yeah, and that is Brad Tim at CashMap. That's his whole systematic. He has this entire comprehensive system where it's a flow chart, and so you can hire. He even calls his assistants an email manager. You literally have someone who is an email manager on your team, and they have all these rules. I mean, not like necessarily automatic rules that we have in Outlook or Gmail or whatever email program, but human rules, so that when your assistant looks at, you know, okay, any email from this person, then you take this action. They get this response, or they get put in this folder, or, you know, anything of this nature, then text me, call me. It's urgent. I need to know about it right away. anything, you know, this nature, put it all into a folder, and no more than, you know, 20, that's all I want, and a summary at the end of the day, and then I'll, you know, look at it and address them, you know, 4 o'clock that day, or whatever the thing might be.
Very cool.
I think it's email cash maps, actually, Linda. Emailcashmaps.com. Try that. Oops, I typed it wrong. Whatever it is, email cash maps.
So that's like the flowchart for what you just described, email cash maps?
Yeah.
Email cash maps.
Yeah, and I see that's not right, so.
All right. Yeah, I'll say that again. Emailcashmaps.com for the people who won't see the chat later on when they download it. Very cool. So the project manager, did they create that, or is that separate from what the email cash map site provides?
No, the email cash map site provides the whole system that you need to implement or customize for yourself.
Okay.
Very cool. In fact, here's a superb deal on it right now. But yeah, it's all the templates and the flowchart and. But you then want to have a person. Actually, what Brad offers too is that he has people on his team that can be your email manager. And you just, you know, train staff that know his system inside out, that can just overlay and just bolt on his system into yours. So,
great.
Now,
some people might have some concerns over cost, and I know there are different models, and I learned a lot of this from Melanie in her different interviews. You know, some people have the intern model where they let them work for 90 days on probation before they get paid, and then others, it's just, you know, the different levels of experience. What was your criteria? And I always say with the disclaimer, everybody has different ways of going about things, but what was your criteria? Was it based on price, experience, worker, you know, on-the-job training? What was your criteria?
My criteria for hiring?
Yeah.
Well,
let's take the project manager, for example.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
Did you say, okay, I'm going to get the most expensive one because I want the best and I want him to be expedient, or, okay,
yeah.
I want somebody that I can kind of train and mold and so maybe they won't be as expensive, that kind of thing.
Right. No, these are wonderful questions. I love it. First of all, regards price, I absolutely am an advocate that you get what you pay for. If you go out there and you try to get the cheapest service at all, then you're going to get what you pay for. And you know, I know Tim Ferriss, love him to bits, got to meet him in September, huge fan of his whole philosophy around the 4-hour work week and leveraging, delegating, automating, doing your dream life now. But I'm not really a big fan of just hiring a whole bunch of cheap labor and just, unless it's just for really mundane, I have to choose my words very carefully because I like to be very respectful of people's choices. So I'll speak about mine. So what I have found is I particularly love to work with service providers in the U.S. It's just because then, I don't know, everything. I mean, whether making a phone call or time zones or just the culture or just understanding, all of that's important. So price is a factor, and I like to get a good deal on more menial tasks or just kind of like data entry or, you know, data management or things that are not going to directly impact my visibility and reputation and those kinds of things. So my primary criteria for taking anyone on my team is their attitude. Is their personality. They have to have a can-do attitude and be positive and be open and be coachable and be, you know, be willing to be influenced by me and in the direction that I want them to go in. But at the same time, I'm open to their input, and so because there's things that I don't know all the answers, and I might not be seeing something the right way or the most effective way. So I like skill for sure is good, but personality will often, for me, trump skill. For example, if anyone on my team, I know Laura was in here, the VPG printing, who's done my business cards and note cards, and she has just a wonderful personality, and she's very active on Twitter, and she does a great job, and her rates are reasonable. So those things are all great. But if somebody was using, and that's maybe not quite as critical, having your business card printer, you know, your printer be on social media, but it can be. But someone who, for example, hey, Laura, but for example, someone who is really, really got their hands, knee-deep into your business, managing your online presence, maybe in Twitter or Facebook or setting up accounts for you. They have to really get a good feel for the culture of these different sites and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Also, they have to know your personality very well, if somebody's actually going to be saying things on your behalf, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, and I usually recommend if I actually do not have anybody out there, anybody on my team writing on my behalf, or excuse me, I should say writing as me.
Yay! I'm so glad that you did. I was hoping.
Yeah. If ever you see me speaking in first person, it is me. 100% guaranteed. It is me speaking in first person. Mm-hmm. Versus having my assistant or anybody on my team writing on my behalf. They might say, hi, this is Christina, Mari's assistant,
Mm-hmm.
And so they will most likely be saying something that I have sanctioned for them to say, and it can be a pre-written email or something like that. A lot of my Facebook email, unfortunately, is, that's just the way I have to do it. Mari would love to personally respond to your email. But she's not able to right now, connect with her on Twitter, follow her here, her fan page, blog, whatever. So they give them as much other ways to reach me or get value from my information versus a personal email.
And I really appreciate that, and I've always appreciated that about you. I know how incredibly busy you have been and how much have you become, but I love the automated process that I see when I send an email. It's like, well, I know she will get back to me, and it's usually a Skype or a DM, but you do get back to me, and I think it's awesome because there are a lot of people out there who suffer from customer service issues because they don't have their systems in place, and they think there's never really a good time because they're already so overwhelmed. And so, in my opinion, you just need to just sit down and take a day, and I think that's time invested that I think would pay out dividends. And it might take more than a day, and the first thing would be to get that automated process to your customers so they don't think that you are ignoring them.
It's true, and I wrote a blog post. I'm just trying to remember where I put it. I think because I have several blogs, but MariSmith.com blog, and you just search for if you just search for autoresponder at MariSmith.com, up in the top right, you'll find that post. And I wrote about this autoresponder, and I actually have the script of it. And it's a blend of Tim Ferriss, the kind of like the low-contact, low-information diet type approach, and the Gary Vaynerchuk, or Gary V approach of being, just being a hound and going after all your email and communication as much as you can. And so that's the autoresponder you're talking about, and I give people alternative ways. In fact, I do want to give one new resource I just signed up for last week that I've added to that autoresponder, another way that people can reach me if something is urgent and important and they really need to get hold of me. On that autoresponder, now the very first suggested approach is to go to a special link and send me a quick text message. It goes to my cell phone, and it's called awayfind.com. In fact, I'll pop that in the chat too. Awayfind.com, and then this is my, that's me, that's Mari Smith. So if you send me a message there, it will come to my cell phone as a text message.
Very cool.
It's very cool. And this is actually by Amazon. Amazon.com are behind this, and it's a nominal fee, like $35 a year.
Oh, wow, that's cheap. Oh.
Yeah. And you can customize it, put your own logo up there, and you can set up all kinds of rules. You can say, if this email comes, then text me. If this email comes, and do something else with it.
Very cool. Yeah, this is great because a lot of the folks that come down my pike are like, well, I know I need to do this, but the whole process just makes me tired. So what would you suggest? I mean, I have my own ideas, but what would you suggest to the person who's just really having all this resistance against just starting to get the whole team in place and utilizing the social networks to their absolute advantage?
Well, here's the thing. It's kind of like we could use an airplane analogy. If you're way down at the 500-foot level, you're awfully close. You're awfully close to the real kind of mechanics, day-to-day mechanics of your business. You want to kind of fly up and look at, like, from the 20,000-foot vantage point and look at the bigger picture and get real clear on the results. What are the results you want to accomplish? What are your goals? What are your income goals? What are your lifestyle goals? I mean, how much time off do you want? You be taking vacations and things like that. Your family goals, things like that. Just looking at the bigger picture and making sure that your business is being set up and designed to make maximum profits that will afford you the lifestyle that you want, and so that it all fits together. And so I think what happens is that people get too close to, as I say, the day-to-day running of the business and thinking they need to invest all this time in a social network and getting confused, not knowing when to start. But if you stand back and you have a specific goal and then you have a strategy for that, and then so the strategy I mentioned, like one example for me was when I first got on Facebook 18 months ago, one of my first friends was Leonardo DiCaprio, the actor in environmental action.
That's so cool.
Wow. Oh, my God, someone like Leo's on here. Who else is on here? And before long, I was able to reach out and friend some very, very high-level influential people and interview them. That's what I did. I reached out and I did these little 10-minute podcast-sized interviews, which I've then made into a product. And so that would be one approach right there. So just taking one little piece of the pie and taking baby steps and not thinking you have to, as they say, you know, eat the whole elephant one bite at a time. And that's basically what we have is a giant elephant and people just try to consume it all at once and just get scared. The other thing, too, to know is that in this world of this constant information available and this rapid growth of members everywhere and sites everywhere and content and, you know, blogs, that you will never be able to consume it all. So it is actually important to limit. I'm saying this as much for my benefit as you and your listeners, Carol, because it's a constant process. I think, oh my God, did I miss anything? Is that feeling did I miss anything? Oh, I didn't read all my blogs today. What did I miss? So it's just really important to just get your day-to-day action plan or activities or, you know, task list that fits into an overall project, and the project fits into an overall a goal or objective that you're wanting to accomplish, and so that you're just going to feel that you have much more control over your day and your direction, too, and you're not just having this shotgun approach and hoping that something sticks.
Exactly. Now, from the my MBTI point, well, both of us are J-types, so the whole idea of structure probably natural to us, but those who might not have that ingrained in them, I would just invite them to try, be conscious of the fact that, yes, that maybe the whole structure planning thing might not be something that's natural for you, but try it on and consciously know that it's not where you are in the beginning, but just to, you know, expand your comfort zone, and you'll be glad that you did. Then you can go back to being who you are, but sometimes you have to adapt, you know, and I think about the information overload point that you mentioned, and I'm thinking about Now Discover Your Strengths. Remember that book by Donald Clifton?
Marcus
Buckingham. And I think, my top one is Input and Learner. And then I think about what Melanie said about a strength overused becomes a weakness. And so, of course, if I'm trying to devour all this information and not getting anything done, then I'm out of integrity. So I have to think about all of that. And when if I'm conscious about what are my strengths, and we don't want it to be overkill, and what are my preferences, and trying on things that aren't necessarily my preferences just for the temporary purposes of moving things forward, that can be really life-enhancing, not just business-enhancing, but life-enhancing. And that, I mean, that gets back to the self-awareness conversation, which is a whole nother hour show, I'm sure.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, we got about 5 minutes left, and I guess I should ask you if you had any, like, words of wisdom before, and I think a lot of people know how to get a hold of you, but if there were anything, you know, words that you'd like to share with them, just golden nuggets to share with our listeners
send
them off.
I sure will. Well, one of the things important you mentioned about, like, stepping outside of your natural style just to try to implement a plan or a strategy, you could actually get with somebody that is their natural style. And I know that some people that might really struggle with, well, gee, you know, I'm not making enough money right now to afford to take someone on. But the thing is that my approach, and I really learned this from Melanie Benson-Strick over the years, that you can't afford not to, because you can't possibly be a one-person show and you know it all and be able to implement it all. So if you reframe taking people on to support you as that you're actually supporting them, you're supporting them as well, as obviously, and it needn't cost an arm and a leg. You might set aside a budget. If you only have, you know, a couple hundred dollars to spare, you could actually have the help of an assistant who would at least give you, an overview of certain sites that you need to be on and get you set up and have your profile there. But, don't stop. Don't let lack of knowledge stop you from moving forward, because there's plenty of knowledge available and plenty of support available and to be able to help you. And just be aware that, what we were just saying to wrap up on that point I was just making about the shotgun approach of just, spending an inordinate amount of time just kind of hanging around chit-chatting at the cooler but not really seeing any results, that if you're in that place, you don't have a strategy, and that's basically what it is, bottom line. And the strategy is not tied into an objective, and we could even, get bigger than that. It's not tied into your purpose, your why. You can achieve you can accomplish pretty much anything if you have a big enough why.
Right.
So, so people can find me at whyfacebook.com is my blog. There's 7-day Facebook marketing tips there, and then I also have my marismith.com blog, and I have my 21 keys to profitable relationships there. And find me on Facebook at marismith.com/Facebook, or better still, marismith.com/fan page. I'm building up my fan page now that I'm up at that ceiling of friends.
Right.
And on Twitter, of course, at Mari Smith.
All right. Very nice. Yeah, we got about a minute left. So, yeah, you've got a lot of good resources. I've learned so much from you, from your masterclass, from your Facebook. Gosh, everything I think you've put out, I think I've purchased and consumed and learned so much. So I really want to thank you for being here. It's truly an honor. So,
well, my pleasure. Yeah, it's been a delight to share the journey with you, and also to work with some of the same mentors too, like Kevin Nation. So,
most definitely. So rather than us get cut off, what I'm going to do is just thank you, and I'll keep the chat on, but I think I'm going to cut this short before this thing kicks me out.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mari. It was a true pleasure, and we've all learned a lot, and I know the people who will be downloading this will be getting a lot out of it, too. So this
awesome.
Is Carol Dixon Carr, Productivity Talk, wishing you a wonderful day.